Hometown Radio 104.9 WTKM. 1024, my name is Dave Stout. It's great to have you with us on the Friday, October 4th edition of the Open Line program. And periodically on the Open Line program, we like to bring in guests and talk about some items that are of interest. Of course, we have our regular guests on the program, but occasionally it's fun to bring in a different guest and people that have a different perspective on life and people that look at people that have a different perspective on life, too. And ours happens to be the latter today. We're pleased to welcome into the studio this morning a book author. His name is Reynold Kramer. He's written many Bible class studies for churches and home study groups, as well as curriculum for children's vacation Bible schools and Sunday schools. His passion for the Amish and their Anabaptist history has made him a popular speaker on the subject at churches, public libraries, and other groups and functions, too. For 15 years, he served as a Christian school principal and teacher and is now employed as a writer and marketing director for Kramer Publications out of Butler, Wisconsin. Mr. Kramer's college days were spent with at the Dr. Martin Luther College at New Ulm, Minnesota, where he received his bachelor's degree in science education. Reynold and his wife Edith reside in Germantown now, where they have four grown children and 10 grandchildren. Pleased to welcome Reynold Kramer. Mr. Kramer, good morning. Good to see you. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You've had a busy life. Interesting life.
Oh, it has. Yeah. It's been great.
Why the interest? In Bible class studies? And did you feel the Lord just kind of pushed you in that direction in your life? Or,
well, it was kind of a family decision in a way. After I had taught for 15 years, my father was about to retire at our family business, and consequently, three brothers decided to incorporate and continue the business. And along with that, we started doing more in the retail end other than just the printing company, which my father had begun. And as far as the retail end was concerned, we started writing a lot of our own material and publishing it as well.
Now, you're in Butler. You said you've been in Butler for how many years?
Quite a while. We've been in Butler for 11 years.
11 years. Okay. Yes. All right. And so Kramer Publications, what do you publish? Do you publish just mainly, you know, books for churches and schools, or what do you publish?
We're kind of a niche company. We do a lot of printing, first of all, for churches themselves. As far as the retail end of the company is concerned, that's where we produce our own vacation Bible school materials, few books, and we also are into grade school diplomas, and we supply musicals to grade schools as well. I think we're one of the largest providers of school musicals for grade schools.
I'll be darned. Sounds like it keeps you busy.
Oh, it does.
Yeah,
for
I'll
sure.
Bet. So you are also a speaker, too. You go out and you go out and put on presentations for people. And one of them that you happen to be putting on is a presentation called The Plain, P-L-A-I-N, The Plain People, the Hutterites, Mennonites, and the Amish. And you've got a couple presentations coming up here. You'll be talking to the folks at the Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church at 6869 Wildwood Road in West Bend. Now, that's just off of Highway 33 and 45. Just go west a little bit where the old Pick and Save. I think you just follow Wildwood there and you come right to the church. That's coming up on Sunday, October 13th, and again on the 20th at night from 6 until 8 o'clock at night. What's the fascination with what you call the Plain People, and how'd you get involved with researching that?
Well, it began as researching it for a Bible study program, and as I began looking at the people more and more, they just caused such a fascination that I decided it was an area that I really wanted to learn more about. Did a lot of traveling, traveled up to Canada, visited with the Hutterites, been to Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, visiting Amish people, have gotten to know several Amish people very well, as well as former Amish people. And, of course, here in Wisconsin, it's a special fascination because Wisconsin really has the fourth largest Amish population in the country. So we're used to seeing them when we drive the back roads. Not too far from here, Kingston-Dalton area. Mm-hmm. The Cashton area has a very large settlement and so on. They're in a number of different areas throughout Wisconsin.
The Plain People, What an interesting name for any group of people. I'm not sure anybody would want to be called plain people, but they derive their name from their lifestyle. Is that what it is? Or?
Well, it really is. When the Amish began, it was in the late 1600s. One of the Anabaptist ministers felt that things were getting too liberal within the Anabaptist church, and consequently he proposed a number of changes. Among them were washing your feet, one another's feet, before Holy Communion. Another one was celebrating communion twice a year instead of just once, as they had always done so. And then he also suggested no buttons, because he figured they should dress plainly, and that was where the plain idea came from. And, of course, he was also the one that instituted the idea of shunning, which is to keep a person away from the flock of people if they have done something for which they are not repentive. And consequently, this man's name was Jacob Ammon. And that was the beginning of the Amish people.
I'll be darned. So they took their name kind of from their leader, right?
That's right. All of the groups did. Jacob Hutter was the beginning of the Hutterites, as well as Menno Simons was the man after which the Mennonites followed.
And now the Amish, are they kind of distant relation to Lutherans? Did they kind of fall out of the Lutheran church, or how did that work?
Interestingly enough, and a lot of people don't realize this, that the Anabaptists really began after Luther's Reformation. So the Lutherans and the Amish are really distant cousins. What happened was, is after the Reformation, a number of smaller reformations began popping up throughout Europe. One of these was in Zurich, Switzerland, a man by the name of Ulrich Zwingli. And it was within his church that three young men, in a Bible study, began discussing what Luther had done. They felt that he had not gone far enough. They felt that he should have cut ties not only with the Catholic Church, but also with the state as well. And they also felt that people should be baptized as adults and not as infants. And consequently, these three young men baptized one another one night. And that was the beginning of the Anabaptists, or the rebaptizers. And so it was from this point on, there was terrible persecution that followed this. And during that persecution, the Anabaptists finally went underground. And it was because of that going underground that they squirted out throughout Europe. One area went toward Russia, they became the Hutterites. One area went toward Germany, they became the Mennonites. And then, as I mentioned, late in the 1600s, the third group popped up, which was the Amish.
And they've all kind of gravitated toward the United States through the years?
Well, they did.
How did that work?
That was very interesting. All three groups came to the United States on the invitation of William Penn. William Penn had this experiment he was trying in his colony of Pennsylvania, and he was searching throughout Europe for religious groups that were going through persecutions. And consequently, he invited them to come over. The Hutterites did. They did not stay in Pennsylvania. They moved toward central United States, where they had a very good golden years until World War I, when the draft started. And since these are conscientious objectors, a number of men were drafted. They refused to wear the uniform. Three of these men froze to death in prison. And consequently, the Hutterites decided they needed to move to Canada. And that's where you'll find most of them today.
I'll be darned.
The second group, the Mennonites, many of them did stay in Pennsylvania. The Mennonite church today, about 95% are dress and act just like the common English people do, but about 5% are called the Old Order Mennonites, which are very difficult to tell apart from the Old Order Amish. They dress and act very much like the Amish do, other than the fact that they are allowed to drive cars. So if you see someone that looks like an Amish person driving an automobile and you think, oh boy, I caught one, that's probably not the case. It's likely an Old Order Mennonite person.
You know, my wife, Connie, she has a farm up in Black River Falls area, Wisconsin, and up there. There's a lot of Amish people up there in that area, that whole part of area, kind of western Wisconsin up there. And we've got to know them. We stop at stands from time to time, and they sell produce and stuff like that out there in the country typically. Or, you know, they're very resourceful people. They're very hardworking people. They often plant, the Amish people do, they often plant their fruits and vegetables with no pesticides whatsoever on them, and they sell them as organic to the markets in the Twin Cities and stuff like that. And so they're very hardworking people, but they're a very what you say, I guess, when you call them plain people, they are very plain people. They have no mirrors in their houses, and they wear no shoes, typically most of them, throughout the summertime. It's a very different lifestyle than the rest of society, isn't it?
It is, and that lifestyle is pretty well dictated from church to church. They call their churches districts, and each district has its own set of unwritten rules, and they call these the Ordnung. And this set of rules is really what determines what their dress will be like, the type of, whether they have rubber wheels on their machinery or have to work with steel wheels. It'll determine whether they can hang pictures within their houses. It'll determine right down to extreme details such as what type of suspenders the men wear, what color the buggies must be, how many pleats to put in a prayer cap, and so on. So that is the list of rules, and that is basically the way they draw a wall around themselves. And they are very strict at following those rules. And if one does not abide by those rules, that's when the shunning begins. And eventually they're left out of the church then.
Talking to Reynold Kramer. Reynold is the author of a new book that's called Driving the Backroads, The Amish in the world, but not of it. Interesting. Why the title like that? Why did you feel that was an appropriate title?
Well, the Amish often point to scripture passages as to their way of living. And one of them speaks of a Christian who should be in the world but not of it. And so they feel that that is their place. Consequently, they do very little mission work or outreach. The only way the Amish group is growing is within. You can imagine if every Amish family has between 7 and 10 children, that's one way to make a church grow pretty well. Interestingly enough, the Amish are not going away very soon. They double in population about every 15 years. So they're having problems finding land. That's why they're moving around the United States quite a bit, heading west, heading north.
You can kind of notice their houses right away. You drive along the road, and all of a sudden here's a house with no power lines in front of it or lines going up to it. Interesting how they live their life. They will use power tools, but they won't own them. Right.
Sometimes, well, that's correct. Most of the power that
they'll ride in a car, but they won't own
exactly.
One.
Right. The only modern facility or modern things you may find, they do have indoor plumbing. They will have a stove and a refrigerator run by propane gas. You may find a little shed at the road at the end of their driveway. That's their phone shed. Where they may be allowed to have a telephone, but they are not allowed one within the house. Now, the stricter districts may outlaw those at the end of the driveway. I have a friend down in Indiana. They only allow one at the cemetery and one at the schoolhouse. Other than that, they have no other phones, access to phones.
And you say friend, it's to someone you met during the research of doing your book here, and they actually will talk to you and share with their lifestyle with you? Or typically, you know, when you see them and ask them questions, boy, they just look at you like, oof. And the kids kind of stand behind the edge of the door and peek around the edge of the door, and it's like, you know, oof. You know, don't ask me any questions and don't take my picture is the attitude typically, right?
As I said, they build walls around themselves. They're very much afraid that something will infiltrate them and their way and belief system. And all it takes is to remove one brick or two out of that wall and the whole thing's going to collapse. And because of that, they do stay aloof from us. They call us the English.
Oh, really?
Oftentimes, if you ask them questions, they will be more than happy to answer them. If you ask them, why are you wearing this or why do you do this? But you'll notice one thing, they will never ask you a question because they don't want to find out more about you. The only way to really get to know Amish is they have to finally accept you into their circles. And once they do that and you become friends with them, they will start to open up. They may even discuss religion with you, which is something that they they are very tight-lipped about. So you really have to be accepted by them in order to find out any of the interesting things among them.
So the people that have left the Amish, what do you call it? Is it even a faith or Amish religion? Is it how do you refer to the Amish?
Well, it certainly is a religion, and I think a lot of people don't realize this. They think it's a culture. It's not. It's definitely a religion, and everything the Amish do is based on their religion. That religion, of course, is based on the Bible. They do have two confessions that they do follow closely. The one, the Dordrecht Confession, is the one that they teach to their youngsters when they're, well, youngsters, they're really teenagers by the time they decide to get baptized. And so they do follow the Bible. The only problem is that some estimates say that today about 75% of them are really not true Christians any longer, because they have gotten so tied up in those rules that they've really lost the true message that they started out with. So it's really, in a way, a very sad thing that those rules have become so important to them.
So it's kind of got a relationship sort of what you see in other religions over there through people through the years. They may have been brought up, whether it's Catholic or Lutheran or Protestant, whatever faith, as you were brought up with that. And so through the years, people have just drifted away from that. Now they go to church every Saturday or every Saturday night or Sunday. So the Amish are really no different. They've kind of drifted away from their original beginnings back in the 1600s, it sounds like, huh?
They really have. Many of them know that also and realize what is happening to them. And it is a great concern of a lot of them that are trying to get the church back to where it was at one time.
And they speak German, high German, right? I mean, high German, low
German?
Well,
their normal speaking is, I call it a guttural German. There's a lot of English words thrown in there. However, when they go to church and they worship every other Sunday, when they go to church, there they use Luther's Bible yet, his translation, which I understand was written in High German, and consequently the minister must preach in High German as well.
Talking to Dr. Rennell Kramer. Rennell has written a book called Driving the Backroads, The Amish in the World But Not of It, and it's a fascinating trip through a lifestyle that a small percentage of the population has decided to take on. And I guess, you know, some people have said through the years, you know, the people that have come out of the Amish that have been involved with the Amish religion, and they start talking to people outside, some of the people that come out of it almost describe it as a cult. Is that being too vindictive of this of people in this religion?
Not really. There are some churches, some districts that I would label cults because of the way they are run by the bishop. That is not true necessarily everywhere, however. It is a way of life. I guess when I do my presentations, I try to put the best construction on them. I do admire the Amish in many ways. I like the way they raise their families, the love among them, the care they have for their old folks. These are all some real positives. The fact that they don't let the culture pull them around and tell them what they must do. Earlier we were talking about the decorations in the stores so early. We just follow along like blind sheep. They do not let that happen. Their lives are very on a very steady norm. But there are some areas that are cult-like, and there have been a lot of people trying to leave. It is difficult to leave the Amish. If you're a teenager, before you are baptized, you can leave without any consequence. However, once you become baptized, then that door is locked behind you and the keys thrown away.
Is that right?
So you are in there to stay, and there's only two ways of getting out. One is to be shunned and leaving, and the other way is you may be able to work your way up through some more liberal churches, Beachy Amish, Amish Mennonites, and you can sneak your way through the pipes that way without getting shunned.
Wow.
And shunning is very, very severe to them. They believe that one that is shunned is destined for hell.
So if you are in the Amish and you are shunned for whatever you do, is it like being kind of like us being blackballed against have something like that? Is that a good term? You know, you use that term in our society, you know, he's been blackballed, so no one will talk to him or no one will hire him or whatever like that. Is it kind of the same way in the Amish, too? Is that how they...
It really is. It's extremely
severe. I mean, they just,
severe.
when they throw you out, you're out, right?
You really are. For instance, if a father is shunned and maybe his wife turned him in, Maybe his children did. If he eats at the dining room table, they'll have to pull that table apart so that he sits on one end and the rest of the family sits on the other.
Oh, boy.
If he attends a wedding, they'll set up a table in the corner for him, and he will have to eat by himself. If he shops in an Amish store, the store clerk will not be able to handle his money. He'll have to give it to a third party who, in turn, will give it to the store clerk. So it is extremely severe on these people.
Wow.
And very, very hard to put up with. And the only way they can undo that is to go in front of the church on a Sunday and get down on their knees and ask for forgiveness. And then it's a vote whether they will be forgiven or not.
If they're sincere or not.
If they're sincere or not, that's right.
Reynold Kramer's with us right now, and the book is called Driving the Back Roads, The Amish in the World But Not of It. Can you stick around for another 15 minutes or so?
Sure,
would you
I'd
mind?
Be happy
till
to.
11 o'clock or so. Of course, Reynold is going to be at the Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church. If you have a fascination with learning more about different faiths like the Hutterites, the Mennonites, and the Amish, he will be at the Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church on Sunday, October 13th and 20th from 6 until 8 o'clock. And we'll wrap up our conversation here another 10 minutes or so with Reynold Kramer coming up in just a minute on WTKM. Continue our discussion on WTKM. We've got Reynold Kramer in the studio with us today. He's a he's written many Bible class studies for churches and home study groups, as well as curriculum for children's vacation Bible schools, Sunday schools, and got a real passion for the Amish and their Anabaptist history, has made him a pretty popular speaker on the subject at churches, public libraries, and other functions around the area, too. And he will be speaking. And it turns out that it's a, Reynold, correct me if I'm wrong, it's a two-parter you're doing at Shepherd of the Hills, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
The first evening on October 13th, I will be discussing the history and the religion of the Amish people. And the second night, on October 20th, a week later, we'll be taking a look at a movie on the Amish, and then we'll be going into their traditions. I leave a lot of time for people to ask questions about anything that any questions they might have about the Amish. There are a lot of riddles.
The book is called Driving the Back Roads, The Amish in the World But Not of It. How do we get a copy of this if we need a copy?
You can go on my website, AmishInsights.com.
Okay.
You can order it that way. That would be probably the best.
Right on there, too, and it just tells a great history of the Amish. You know, I was telling you about the Amish up there in Jackson County, western part of the state of Wisconsin. A lot of family, a lot of kids. I mean, every time we go up there, there's more little kids, or Lydia's pregnant again. They say, well, how's your wife? Lydia's pregnant again. And large families, typically, right? I mean, is that what you're
trying
to?
If you figure every Amish family would have 10 children, which is not unusual, that means every child has 100 cousins, and if they all live in the area, it makes slim pickings when you're looking for someone to marry.
Sure.
And consequently, well, they try very hard to work that out so that they bring youth in from other areas.
Yeah. And the teens, tell us about the teens, that lifestyle with the teens. Boy, it's just, I just can't imagine being, when you're young and you're little and you're working in the field and you really don't know any better, but boy, then you go into town and then you see all these people with this fancy dress and these iPods and iPads and cruising around and having fun and they're yelling and screaming, and there you go back to your group again. The hormones start to kick in, not to mention that, but the teens, it's going to be a challenging life to keep the teens under control in the Amish. How do they do that?
They have a very unique system called Rumspringa. Basically, it means sowing your oats. That begins at age 16. That's the magic number all Amish youth look for. Once they reach 16, then they start attending the youth meetings. The way it works is that a home that would have church on a Sunday morning, and of course they always meet in homes, they don't have church buildings, that evening that homeowner will also sponsor the teens, and they will bring in teens from church districts out of their area so that the youth have an opportunity to mix. That meeting is called a SING, S-I-N-G, because that's basically what they do. I was able to attend a couple sings, and they're fascinating.
They let you in.
Oh, they do.
Wow.
If you have to know how to get in, and you have to know the people. One of them that I went to, as you drove up in the driveway, you could hear them singing in the house already. And the Amish have very large dining rooms and living rooms, so they can seat a lot of people on their church benches there. And on one half of the room was I would say about 40 young men, all dressed as neat and cleanly as you can imagine, in their light green and light blue shirts and suspenders. And they were facing one direction, and the girls were sitting in the other room facing the young men. And one girl would call out a number on a hymn book, and they'd all page to it, and she would begin the singing. And eventually they would all join in. And after the song was over, then one of the young men would do the same thing. Generally, they wind up about 8:30 at night, because they've got to still hitch up their buggies and take their girlfriends home at that time. And sometimes those trips can take quite a while. And that's when Rumspringa begins. Basically, the way the Amish do it is that when they turn 16, the parents basically they cut the line, and they tell the teenagers, "You can go ahead and live as you please. Find out what the English world is like." Some of them go off the deep end and wind up in the newspaper with having done this or that. However, the vast majority, I would say the farthest they would go is maybe the young men would wear a baseball cap or put an auto seat in his buggy, and so on. There's been, of course, a lot of movies and TV programs on these kids, but as far as I have seen, that's certainly not the case that they would do that. I was in one Amish home of an Amish minister, a wonderful friend of mine, when a car pulled up in the driveway and a young man got out with a black t-shirt and a pair of khaki shorts. And John introduced me. This is my son, Daniel. And I greeted Daniel and I said, "You must be in Rumspringa." And he said, I sure am. And then I said, "Do you dress that way when you go to church?" And he looked at me and he said, "Oh, no, my mother would never allow that." So they do try it out. And the Amish believe that at that time they have to make a decision eventually. Either you're going to go with the English or you're going to stay Amish.
Oh,
and
really?
About 95% stay.
So they give them an opportunity at age 16 to go out and sample the real
Absolutely.
World out there. Wow.
They can buy cars. You see them smoking. They join baseball teams. They do a number of these things. So that is the chance that they have.
This book that you put together called Driving the Back Roads, The Amish in the World But Not of It, how long did it take you to do the research and get the book, all the background for the book put together?
Oh, I don't know. I had been working on it for quite some time, probably a good year and a half. Of course, like I said, I did a lot of traveling. I have quite an extensive library on the Amish, both books written about them and by them. I started putting it together. Basically, what I wanted to do in the book is give an honest assessment of who they are without giving any personal feelings, at least through the first chapters of the book. I go through their history. Again, the Hutterites and the Mennonites go through all their histories, go through the religion, list the different doctrines that they do learn. And then when I got to the last chapter of the book, that's the time I spent giving my viewpoint on them, where I feel they have made some wrong decisions and taken some wrong turns, and what's causing some of the problems within their communities.
What happened, talking to Reynold Kramer, the book is called Driving the Backroads, The Amish in the World But Not of It. What happens in a relationship where a husband and wife in an Amish marriage, they have 10, 12 kids or so, and the two of them kind of grow apart in a world, a regular world that's out there right now, 50% of the world is divorced. What's the divorce rate in the Amish world?
Is there the divorce rate among the Amish is 0%. The Amish are not allowed to get divorced. If it should happen, let's say, for instance, that there's a couple that has 10 kids, and the father decides, "I've had it, I'm done, I'm leaving, I'm gone," and he does leave his family and decides to get a divorce, he certainly can do that, and in the eyes of the state, of course, he is legally divorced. She, however, within the eyes of her church, is not divorced. She is still married to him, and she will continue to be married to him. And consequently, she'll be stuck raising those 10 kids by herself.
So she doesn't remarry?
No, she will not. The bottom line to that story, however, is the Amish are a very loving people, even though they seem very cold on the outside and a lot of rough edges. They really are a very loving and caring people among themselves, and they will certainly see that she and her family are well cared for.
Wisconsin has the fourth largest Amish population in the U.S. Is that what I'm reading here on your brochure?
It really is. Wisconsin has a lot of people that came up from Indiana, especially. Indiana Amish are now in Wisconsin. Wisconsin does have some of the most conservative ones up north. They're called the Schwarzentrubers. And there they have some really strict rules compared to the others, even as far as colors of paint you must do your rooms in the home and so on. The other states, of course, most people think Pennsylvania has the most. That's not correct. It's Ohio.
Ohio
has one county, Holmes County, which is almost totally Amish. Pennsylvania's number two. The Shipshawana area in northern Indiana is number three, and then comes Wisconsin.
I'll be darned. So let's kind of wrap up our conversation today with funerals. Tell us maybe some statistics about funerals that we may not know about with the Amish people.
Well, with the Amish, the funerals, well, first of all, Grandma and Grandpa are well kept in the home of one of the children. They will build an additional house onto their house called a Dottie house where Grandma and Grandpa can stay. And at such a time as one of them passes away, then, of course, word gets out among the community very quickly. That individual then must be taken to a funeral home, and the body must be prepared there. That is state law, and it has to be done. No cosmetics, nothing like that, however. Wooden box, always. And then it is sent back to the home, and they have the wake in the house itself. Generally, the Amish women will be buried in their wedding dress, the dress they wore for their weddings. After the funeral, they will line up all their buggies and head out to the cemetery. Very quiet type of a funeral. There's no fanfare, no eulogies. They will not speak a eulogy about someone because their purpose is not to build up anyone. Mm-hmm. Consequently, no large gravestones, just a small marker is all it is.
I'll be darned. Well, you've learned a lot on this, haven't you, doing the research and the studying? And I can kind of tell when you're talking to me, you're kind of smiling, you're kind of enjoying that. Are you maybe going to head back down to Indiana and see those people again? Have you befriended them at all? Or
I'm heading down to Indiana this weekend.
You are?
Tomorrow morning.
I'll be darned.
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Beautiful country, isn't it? I mean,
it is. It certainly is. And it's such a joy riding those back roads and seeing these buggies and listening to the clip-clop of the horse's hoofs. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
I would tell anybody, head up towards Kingston-Dalton area if you've got a weekend. Go shopping at the Mishler's grocery store up there. There are things to do and people to see up there.
Book is called Driving the Backroads, the Amish in the World but Not Of It. The author is Reynold Kramer. You've been listening to him for the past 45 minutes or so here on WTKM-FM Hartford. Thanks for coming in today. Fabulous book. So much to learn about the different faiths and stuff like that. We see him and we hear the clip-clop as we're riding through the countryside, but I often wonder, what's that lifestyle like? And you gave us a little peek behind the curtain there to see what that's like, and it's pretty interesting, to be honest with you. So,
thank you very much. I'd really appreciate it.
Again, your two parter. Tell us about your two-parter you're doing now that you've got coming up.
That'll be Sunday, October 13 and 20, and it'll be at Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church on 6869 Wildwood Road. That's just beyond the Pick and Save on Highway 33 there.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be from 6 to 8 p.m. Basically, the first night on October 13th, we'll be taking a look at the Amish history and their religion. You have to know their history and religion in order to understand them. Mm-hmm. And the second night, we'll finish with a movie on the Amish, and then we'll go into their individual traditions that they do follow. And as I said before, I leave a lot of time for questions because I know so many people have an awful lot of questions.
Yeah. All right. Well, safe travels to Indiana, and good luck with the book. It sounds interesting, and also your presentation on the 13th and 20th. Good to see you.
Thank you very much.
Reynold Kramer with us here at WTKM.